Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining me on the English program. I'm Linda Baldoni, and here's a taste of what we'll be talking about today. Pope Benedict XVI calls for a global landmine ban as the lethal weapons continue to kill or injure tens of thousands of people every year. An innovative project shines the light on the landmine issue, inviting global participation. And Father Jim Brand looks ahead to the first Sunday of Advent, reminding us of the importance of listening. I was surfing the web this week when I came across a rather unusual initiative geared towards raising awareness on the tragic reality of landmines. It struck me for more reasons than one. Just 2 weeks ago, in fact, Pope Benedict XVI had called for a worldwide ban on the use of landmines. He was speaking during the Sunday Angelus in St. Peter's Square ahead of a mine ban convention the next day.
Esprimo di cuore il mio augurio e il mio incoraggiamento.
These weapons, Pope Benedict said, which continue to cause victims, including many children, should be completely banned.
Siano completamente banditi.
Yes, in fact, notwithstanding the dramatic legacy left by landmines on over 1 million innocent victims around the world, 38 are the nations that have still not signed the 1997 Ottawa Treaty, the first global accord against these lethal arms that are designed to explode when triggered by pressure or tripwire. But let me get back to the unusual initiative I mentioned at the beginning of the program. At first glance, it has nothing to do with weapons and destruction at all. As a matter of fact, the radiant smiles and the shiny sashes sported by the girls in the photos seem more pertinent to a beauty pageant. And in fact, I read on, it is a beauty pageant we're talking about, the winning title being Miss Landmine 2008. I looked again, and sure enough could not ignore the fact that the girls in question have more in common than a dazzling smile and a glittering tiara. They are all landmine survivors who have lost a limb. I must find out more about it, I thought, and called up the person behind it.
My name is Morten Trovik. I am a Norwegian director and actor of theatre and film. And I am also the creative director of the Miss Landmine project.
I asked him to tell me how it all began.
It all started around 3.5 years ago when I visited Angola for the first time. And this was only slightly more than 1 year after the 27 years of civil war had ended in Angola. So the specter of war and the very tangible and physical reality of all the leftover landmines that were littering the countryside were very, very present in your everyday life, both as a local, of course, but also as a visitor. It made a profound impression on me, being so restricted and not being able to go almost anywhere because there were so large tracts of the country that wasn't cleared, and still is.
Yes, it is estimated there are more than 100 million landmines located in 70 countries around the world. And the country that has one of the highest rates of landmine injuries per capita is Angola in sub-Saharan Africa. An independence struggle from the nation's Portuguese colonial rulers, starting in 1961, marked the first phase of what developed into nearly 4 decades of almost continuous warfare there, between the government and a rebel army. A warfare in which both sides made heavy use of landmines to defend strategic towns and mine key infrastructure.
The problem in Angola is that there are no recorded grids or plans whatsoever over minefields. Mines were put out quite indiscriminately, sometimes several times in the same areas by both sides in the conflict. So from a mine clearing perspective, the problem is that they can basically be anywhere, which means that if a person or an animal, domestic animal, a cow, maybe steps on a mine in a field, that may either mean that he has been extremely unlucky because that's the only mine around, or it can mean that there are, you know, several hundred mines clustered in the area.
So, an untold number of unexploded weapons still lurk in the soil throughout the countryside, planted during decades of civil war and still claiming victims 5 years after its official end. Thus, mines and booby traps explode in agricultural fields, beneath roads and in schools, claiming their victims at random.
Did you see a lot of people bearing the signs of the landmines?
Yes, and you see people with amputated limbs, usually legs, because that's what usually happens in mine accidents, that people step on mines. So the amputees, the survivors of landmines, are a quite prominent feature in most areas of Angola, actually.
Why did you think of a beauty contest, and who are the participants?
Well, that was my other one strong impression from my first stay in Angola. That were actually the beauty pageants, which are a very, very popular modern cultural feature in Angola and in quite large parts of sub-Saharan Africa. In Angola, those pageants are immensely popular and are also of a much more inclusive, feel-good nature than what we in our, you know, Western Anglo-American cultural sphere associate with this kind of contest. It's much more like a big celebration or carnival feeling about it. The participants have been chosen from 10 of Angola's 18 provinces. Each of the participants represents her own home province. And what those women have in common are naturally that they are all landmine survivors and that they have been approached through a network of different foreign aid organizations that have operations on the ground, in the field, in the Angolan provinces. And they have been made aware of the project and asked about their opinions about it to assess the project and finally if they would be interested to participate. So we have over around 2 years been advertising the project in the different operational bases of different NGOs.
I see here that the actual competition is due to take place on UN International Blind Man Awareness Day, if I'm correct.
That's correct,
In April 2008.
April 4th, yes, 2008.
What will the winner take home?
The winner will receive a custom-made prosthesis from Norway's leading, and also one of the world's leading manufacturers of custom-made prosthesis. And this is, of course, a hugely symbolic prize that, of course, hopefully will be very useful and very valuable in itself, but also serves to highlight the fact that the majority of landmine survivors, both in Angola and elsewhere, don't have access to adequate prosthetic gear. For instance, of the 10 participants in this year's Miss Landmine, there are only 2 that have their own prosthetics. And those are also not costume made, but made from a standard International Red Cross model.
Morten, I read that you had problems finding funding for the project and you were actually turned down by big aid organizations. And then Angola's government decided to support the contest. Is that correct?
That's right. Actually, the Angolan government have been very positive to the project from the outset, which has been the deciding factor for me in those moments whether I have, you know, been unsure of whether to keep pushing it or not. Because I think a project like that, to be legitimate, it has to have the support from the local community and the local culture, not to become just another naive Western aid effort that are more or less imposed upon skeptical or indifferent African societies. So the Angolan government, and actually all the, I think I can say without exception, all the Angolan collaborators and partners and people we have approached during the preparations for the project have been all very, very positive and have understood that means of communication very, very instantly. The problem has been to get, you know, Western donor NGOs on board. That has been much more difficult, probably because those agencies are rooted, after all, in a Western European cultural understanding of myths and beauty pageants, which make them react quite negatively to anything that has got anything to do with a beauty pageant.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's a really different way of highlighting a very, very serious problem.
Thank you.
Your website is also very informative. Reading the stories of the contestants is it's a very powerful thing to do. I was very struck by the story of a 19-year-old girl who was walking home from school and she stepped on a landmine and it put an end to her education as well as maiming her for life.
Yes.
And also the fact that you say that in Angola, disabled women are often isolated and looked down upon. So this is really a way of overcoming prejudice as well. Can you just list some of the objectives that you hope to obtain by highlighting the problem with this contest?
As an artist, I always start with images in my head. That was the very first thing when the idea occurred, was just an image in my head of what this might look like. Then you start asking yourself, what can I use this image to achieve? And from the outset have had two main objectives. One has been obviously to highlight the problem of landmines and that some countries actually still are producing landmines 10 years after the international campaign to ban landmines. The other has been to highlight the identity of disadvantaged people, and often people who are disadvantaged in more than one way. For instance, these women are not only disabled, they are also African, they're black, and they're women. So they are, in quite many contexts, classical disadvantaged in a global perspective. But what I want to challenge with Miss Landmine is exactly our tendency to look upon disadvantaged people or cultures as victims or passive recipients of our charities and well-meant aid efforts, that I think we are almost immune to those kinds of images after so many years of sad stories coming out of Africa. And one of the things I am happy about with Miss Landmine is that it manages to get a tragic story and a very serious message across, but at the same time showing that these women actually are proud and strong and dignified and are not different from any other women who are, you know, not disabled.
They're also very beautiful. I mean, your photographs are super.
Thank you.
You said that there are countries that still produce landmines. Do you know what countries they are?
Yes, I have actually a shaming list in the Miss Landmine magazine that I have printed as a part of the international work. Those countries include the U.S., Russia, China, India and Pakistan, Burma, South Korea. There is another one which I don't remember right now.
So I made a search as well and found other names to add to those listed by Morton, including Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Nepal, Singapore, Vietnam. But let's get back to Miss Landmine. Morton explained that everyone can participate, in the sense that the photographs appear in the project's Miss Landmine magazine and are also travelling through Europe as an exhibition. Meanwhile, visitors to www.miss-landmine.org are encouraged to learn about the contestants and vote for their favourite. More than 3,500 online ballots have already been cast, and two of the landmine survivors will ultimately be crowned, a people's favourite and another selected by a jury in Luanda during the live event.
Apart from the winner, what do the other candidates have to gain from participating?
On the very basic level, there will be prizes donated from different Angola-based foreign companies and charities. It is also, by the way, it is a paid assignment. Both the photo shoots and the work that the ladies are doing in connection with the event itself are paid assignments. But, you know, this is it's quite important for me that this doesn't take on the character of a get-rich-fast scheme for anybody involved, actually. I think in the long run, what's to gain for the participants is, of course, to highlight their own situation and make, hopefully, small improvements on their own situation and the situation of other people in the same situation by participating in this awareness-raising project.
This is a question I normally wouldn't ask, but you're an artist, so I can't resist. As I mentioned, one of the objectives you list in the manifesto is to celebrate true beauty, and I'd just like you to tell us, what is your concept of true beauty?
How much time you got? Well, I could be diplomatic and wise and say that true beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I guess I get too easy off the hook by saying that. So for me, true beauty is a combination of many, many, many things, not only physical perfection. You know, to me, like Jennifer Lopez, she's good-looking, but she's not really beautiful. For me, as an example, a moment of true beauty, I think, was when we took the photo shoots of the candidates in Luanda 1 year ago. And you could see how all the ladies just came alive in front of the camera and started to, you know, pose and enjoy being glamorous and finding their expressions and really shining in the situation and having fun and enjoying themselves and being proud of who they are. That for me was pretty close to true beauty.
Morten and I had been speaking for quite a while, and it was time to say farewell. One last thing I asked, what are your ultimate hopes regarding the initiative?
My hopes is that Miss Landmine will be able to have an afterlife, which is already on the cards as we are preparing a Cambodian version for next year, for late 2008 or early 2009. Also, there are plans within Angola to create a national network for female landmine survivors with the participants of Miss Landmine as a nucleus. So if those two projects get off the ground, which at the moment looks very likely, I think that it's absolutely fantastic. And it shows that the effects of Miss Landmine can, in the long run, spread like rings in water.
Rings in water that have very far to reach indeed, because there are still an estimated 80 million landmines buried worldwide. Apart from Angola, the most landmine-affected countries include Afghanistan and Cambodia, while the Middle East has been called the landmine heartland, with tens of millions of landmines buried from Morocco to Afghanistan. I also discovered that every 28 minutes, someone steps on a landmine that kills or injures approximately 18,000 people every year. 80% of them civilians, nearly one-third women and children. And now Father Jim Brand, Spiritual Director of the Pontifical Beda College, looks ahead to the first Sunday of Advent and reminds us how important it is to listen.
Hello everyone, it's Father Jim, sending you my love and respect wherever you are. We're beginning the Church's new year. It's put on another ring, the tree. Now, I know in some parts of the world you're about to come to midsummer, in other parts midwinter. Wherever you are, there's a chance for us to renew ourselves. And we're thinking of the Lord's coming. So in this first Sunday of Advent, we're beginning calmly and carefully that our Lord appears in our lives in all sorts of different ways. We're not just thinking of his first coming, 2,000 or so years ago. We're thinking of how he comes to us each day. But we need to be alert, because he doesn't shout. He doesn't come with big boots on, trampling the daisies. First of all, he comes to us in each person. Everyone sent into this world, whatever their labels, are somebody sent by God. Whatever their religion or their culture, if we treat each other with respect, as if this is somebody the Lord has sent into our lives, we'll be listening to what the Lord is saying to us through them. But sometimes we just carry on, and between now and Christmas, people have worried about so many things. Inflation, how much shall we spend this Christmas? It's terribly vulgar, really. After all, the value of a present isn't the cost. It's the love with which it's given. Real lovers can say more with a small box of chocolates than with a £5,000 computer. I remember being in an infant school once, in the parish I was in, and one little boy, age 10, who'd obviously picked up these bad habits from his parents, said in a loud voice for me and the rest of the class to hear, "My Christmas present cost £2,000. Well, I ignored that remark. But I asked later what it was about. His father had saved up for years to buy the family a computer. But already this boy had caught up a very vulgar habit from his surroundings, which seemed to suggest the cost of something is its value. Love has infinite value, and actually in monies cost nothing. If you invest in love, you're beyond inflation, by the way. The stock market can't get you. The tax man can't get you. You're absolutely free, because we're not prostitutes. Nobody pays for our love. And we don't pay for their love. Love is gratis, free, and that's the meaning of the word grace. Gratis, free love. No ifs and buts, no debts, nothing to pay back, just hilarious, generous love. And the Lord will come to us in all sorts of ways like that, every day, if only we'll be quiet enough to listen to quiet people. Often we play our orchestra so loudly we jam other people. To listen is an enormous art, and I spend a lot of time with the students here helping them to listen creatively and sensitively to others. Because we are part of a listening church. I know the church goes on something shocking. Talk, 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 more and more. Bishops kill the place with papers. I remember saying to my archbishop once, when I was running a hotel, "I've planted a copse of trees." He said, "Why?" I said, "To make up for all the wasted paper in the diocese." And I said, "And that one's called Ad Clarum, all your letters to the priests." And he was big enough to laugh. We have to be quiet and listen to those people who don't blow down their trumpets, but just breathe down them. And so we need to be alert and awake. As the Gospel of Matthew says this Sunday, we don't know when the Master's coming. Most surprising, the people he sends into our lives. We couldn't have imagined it. We couldn't have hoped for it. But suddenly a treasure comes into our lives. And therefore he asks us to be alert and to watch. One person who's very alert is William Wordsworth, who wrote this poem. It is somebody who notices very simple things and then is able to move on and not possess that thing. It's called The Solitary Reaper. "Behold her, single in the field, yon solitary highland lass, reaping and singing by herself, stop here or gently pass. Alone she cuts and binds the grain and sings a melancholy strain. Oh, listen, for the veil profound is overflowing with the sound. No nightingale did ever chaunt more welcome notes to weary bands of travellers in some shady haunt among Arabian sands. A voice so thrilling ne'er was heard in springtime from the cuckoo bird, breaking the silence of the seas among the farthest Hebrides. Will no one tell me what she sings? Perhaps the plaintive numbers flow for old, unhappy, far-off things and battles long ago. Or is it some humble lay, familiar matter of today? Some natural sorrow, loss, or pain that has been and may come again? Whate'er the theme, the maiden sang as if her song could have no ending. I saw her singing at her work and o'er the sickle bending. I listened, motionless and still. And, as I mounted up the hill, the music in my heart I bore. Long after, it was heard no more. Oh, let's have eyes that see and ears that hear quiet things. Don't let's lose them, because they are the Lord coming to us. He is the pearl of great price. Amen.
That's all from the English feature programme today, but we will be back at this same time tomorrow, so join us then. You can also listen to our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. You're listening to Vatican Radio's English programme. Laudetur Jesus Christus.